Isn't it good to be here this morning? And it's good to hear all you shaking hands and hugging necks, and it's just a special time. I thank God that He allows us an opportunity to come and assemble together and to be together at least one time a week and fellowship with one another. Amen? Amen. So good to see all of you here this morning. It's good to see more numbers coming in, and I thank God for that. And we're just believing in December. We've been working on a Christmas cantata. Tickets will be available. We got to buy a bus, so we're going to sell tickets. No, I'm just kidding. Amen. But we're enjoying it. We're enjoying our practices together, and we're just believing that December. So if you know someone that's not in church, or someone maybe used to come or hadn't been in a while, give them a call and invite them to come back, because I believe they're going to enjoy that time together. It's just a special time of year anyhow, and we thank God for all that He's doing and all that He's blessing us with. We're such a blessed people, and I thank Him every day. I thank Him for all the little things He gives us every day, and it's just a blessing. I want you to go to the book of Mark this morning. We're going to talk about getting your head right. Getting your head right. Turn to the woman beside him and say, you need to get your head right. Some of you act like you meant that. Amen. Amen. Getting your head right. Amen. It's a beautiful story. I just get lost in the Word of God. I told Teresa, I said, I would love to be able to just study all the time, because I just, every time, you know, that's what's so wonderful about the Word of God is you never come to the end of it. You never get to, that's all there is to know. God is so rich and deep, and you just keep learning more and more. But the Lord began to deal with me in this particular way of getting our head rights in the form of change. How many of you here likes change? I'll be the first to tell you, I don't like change. And the older I get, change is not good sometimes. But the Lord began teaching me that there's some healthy change, and of course there's some unhealthy change. But the Lord is wanting us to become open to Him, that as He begins to move in our lives, because I think we need to understand what change is all about. And so I think that's what the Lord meant by getting our heads right. Jesus talked about in the Word that we have to have the same mind as God had. And Jesus was saying, have the mind of Christ. And so we're going to look at some things here in Mark chapter 2 about getting our head right. And we just pray that the Lord will allow us to say, I really believe I have something to say to you this morning, fresh from God's Word, and may it be a blessing to you. Beginning in verse 18, and it said, the disciples of John and of the Pharisees used to fast. Now, what's going on here is that this is a time in the ministry of Christ when He was undergoing a lot of criticism. One of the reasons He was going under a lot of criticism is because He was different. I want to say this to you, that God made every one of you an individual. He made every one of you different. And we don't have to be like anybody else. All we have to be is who God made us. Amen? We are who we are. And there'll never be another me. There'll never be another you. But there is that force in the world that tells us, if you're going to be accepted by God, you're going to have to be like this. Or if you're going to be anything for God, you're going to have to be this. And sometimes, you know, that doesn't come easy. And sometimes we feel pushed away with that, because Jesus was going through that. Because when Jesus came on the scene, he was Emmanuel, God with us, born in the flesh from a Virgin Mary. We know all that story. But God said, I want the world to see me as the real me. And so He came in the form of Jesus, the Son of God, and He came. And before Him was one was called John the Baptist. And you're familiar with him. He was a forerunner of Christ. He was the one who was teaching them, there's one coming. There's one coming after me that's going to take away the sins of the world. Well, you know how it is when you get used to hearing someone or used to doing something, you kind of fall in a rut. We don't like to call it rut, but that's basically what it is. We get used to doing the same thing the same way all the time, and we just find ourselves with a closed mind, with our heads not right, saying, this is the only way this can happen. Or, there's no way this can happen because in my mind I've got it this way. How many of you know that the God that we serve is more able to do anything that we need him to do, exceedingly, abundantly, beyond what we think or even ask. Do you believe that? Amen. I know God is able today. Maybe the reason he don't do enough in my life is because I don't let him. Because I close my mind and I say, I just don't see how that can happen. Well, you know, Jesus encountered a lot of that. And so it says here that the disciples of John, now one of the reasons the disciples of John, you know, John was a Baptist and there were people that followed him because he baptized them and they just come together and they begin to follow him. And the Pharisees, of course, were those who had a mind knowledge of God, but they didn't have a heart knowledge. And I want to say this too. You can have all the mind knowledge in the world and still not know him. Amen. The word teaches us that Jesus' desire is that you come to know him in relationship. In relationship. God doesn't want you just to know him in your mind. Well, there's a lot of atheists that know the word. The Bible is a book of principle. Now, you can look at it as a book of history and all of that and look at it in that secular way, and it can become a book of history. But those of you that know him and those of you that know that God is real, it's not just a book. It's not just history. It's life, amen, and it's principle. It's what we live our life by. And God recorded history to show us that these are the ways people acted and these are the ways they received him to be an instrument to us, to teach us his principles through his word. God used a lot of things in the word to teach us a lot of things, and he's about to use something here that we understand to teach us something we don't understand. Amen. Now, I believe that God has led me by this way, Northview. I believe for a season God has led me this way for a reason. Now, I don't know all the reason. You don't know all the reason. But I believe, I know I'm in the will of God for this time to be here. Now, I know that I don't need to block my mind up and say, okay, God, this is how you're going to do it. Now, when I believe God's going to fill this place up. How's he going to do that? I don't know all that. But I know the God that I serve is able to do that. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God is able to do what we need him to do? Amen. I know there's people who need the Lord. I know there's people who need to be involved. There's so much love and so much beauty in this place. I love coming here on Sunday. It's been a blessing to me. And I want to say, I tell everybody, everywhere I go, I'm telling them where I'm at, what's going on, and I want them to be a part of it. Because you don't get this everywhere. I want to just tell you that. You don't get it everywhere. There may be more numbers somewhere else, but you don't get this everywhere. And I just want everybody to have it. Amen. I want everybody to have the God that we got here at Northview. Amen. I believe that. And so it says here, I'm wide open this morning, so I got to get back down. Calm down. And the disciples of John and the Pharisees used to fast, and they come and say unto him, I don't know if I ever get through with this sermon. I want y'all to know that. Because every time I start reading, the Lord just starts giving me more and more. And I'm thinking the disciples of John are walking around with the Pharisees. And there's a reason for that. You remember I told you, and the Lord has given me another message called yet. So I want to tell you how I'm going to preach another word and words message in just a little while. Yet. We've talked about so. We talked about then. Now we're going to talk about yet. But I'm not there yet. Amen. But the Pharisees and John the Baptist's disciples walking around together, and there's a reason for that. I said, Lord, explain what's going on here. It's because they were moving out of a mentality of formation or ritualism, and Jesus is about life. Now, God's a God of order. Don't get me wrong. God is a God of order, and I want to tell you, I want to publicly say, I believe there's a lot of churches totally out of control. Because I believe there's a God of order, and I believe our God is a God of order. I believe everything God does is decent and in order. Amen? So I believe there's an order. But in that order, he wants me to follow him in that order because I love him, not because he makes me do it. Amen? I love communion. I love us taking communion, and I pray every week, thank you, Lord, that I'm a church that reverences and respects. You know, a lot of churches don't even do communion anymore. You want to know why? It doesn't mean anything to them. It means a lot to me. How about you? I love what the brother said this morning. The blood of Jesus Christ has covered our sins and we're free. If I die on my way home today, you don't have to worry about me. I am with him. I am with the Father because of that blood, and I can celebrate it. I'm in a church now that I can celebrate every week what God has done for me. And I love that. And I thank God for that. Thank you, men and women who work so hard every week. There's people working hard every week to make sure we have this done. That's a standard that I think needs to stay here. That's a standard I think needs to be risen high. Amen. It is wonderful. It's beautiful. And I say, God, I'm so glad that I know that I just don't drink that juice and I don't eat that bread just to do it. I know what it means. Amen. Because if it weren't for you, I wouldn't be here today. Amen. Amen. That's the introduction. Now here the Pharisees are saying, why don't Jesus, I want to talk to you a little bit. Because your disciples don't act like John's disciples. Your disciples not like him. And I got a question about that. Look what it says. I'm still in verse 18. Lord help me, Jesus. Why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples fast not? Now, Jesus is about to speak to them in Revelation. Remember, we talked about Revelation. Here is the Son of God. Here is the Son of God speaking to these people. Here is God, the one who created the world, the one who spoke the world into existence. He's speaking now, and they don't perceive it. They don't perceive. I feel the Lord slowing me down. I said, hey, make sure they get it now. Make sure. You ever had one of them teachers in school just right on through everything? I'm trying, Lord. And look what Jesus said. Now, I like my Bible. It says Jesus writing it. What Jesus said is in red. So it says, Jesus said this. Can the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? Another one of the reasons we fast is out of an ordinance to God for more of him. That's really the whole anticipation. Fasting is not dieting or anything like that. It's saying, Lord, I want more of you. I need your wisdom. I need your knowledge. Whatever the Lord leads you to fast about. But it basically is saying, I want to be drawn closer to you. And Jesus is saying, now you can fast out of ritualism, or if you really understand the meaning of it, I'm here. Amen. I'm here. We can sing to God out of ordinance, or we can worship him because he's here. Amen. We know he's here. So you see what it means there? He said, while the bridegroom is yet with them. And as long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. Verse 20 says, but the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them. Now he's speaking revelation to them now. There, it's going right over their head. How many of you know God is real? How many of you know God is real? His word is real. What he says is real. Every word is real. It's important. And these last days, we must walk in the Spirit. We must walk in revelation because God is speaking. Amen. I don't want to serve a God that's not speaking. My God is alive. Amen. And he's speaking. He's with me. He helps me every day. Anybody by the raise of hand will say, God helps me every day. Would you raise your hand if you believe God helps you every day? Aren't you glad you got a God like that? Amen. And Jesus is saying here, there's coming a day that the bridegroom's going to be gone, taken away from them, and they shall fast in those days. That's when you fast. And look what he says here in verse 21. No man also soweth a piece, you see that, of new cloth on an old garment. On an old garment, right, the new piece, filled it, taken away, and the old and the rent is made. You see that? He's saying you don't take an old and you put it with a new. Now, here's the next verse I want you to get. And no man putteth new wine in old bottles. And we're going to get that in just a minute. No man puts new wine in old bottles, else the new wine doth burst the bottles because of the process of making wine. So here's my point. Jesus is about to teach them something they know. He's about to teach them and help them understand something they know with something that they don't know. All right? I want you to get this. Here's an argument going here, or criticism going in here. Why don't you do these things? I want you to know the Holy Spirit of God is real. And I want you to put this word down. If you're making notes, put this word down. Development. When you do what you do for God, why do you do it? When you do what you do for Him, why do you do it? That's basically what Jesus is saying here. These guys are fasting, and they got the whole aspect wrong. So he goes to another thing. He says a garment. You take an old piece and a new piece. The new piece is going to outweigh the old piece. Then he puts it in a vernacular that they really understand because they really understood winemaking in that day. And he says here, winemaking is a process. Wine goes through a process. Now, I don't know all about wine and all about that stuff, but I do know there's a process of fermentation and all the things that they go through, the crushing of the grapes and all that. In other words, Jesus trying to say here, you can't put new wine in old skins. What is he saying? He's saying you'll never move forward. Now hold on to this. This is what he gave me to give you. You'll never move forward unless you're willing to release the past. You believe that? You'll never move forward. Now, let's take, for example, relationships. Maybe you've had a bad relationship with a mate in times gone by, and maybe it didn't work out, and it happens, things like that happen. But you know, sometimes we're guilty of taking the new mate that we got and judging them or criticizing them based on relationship we had with the old. Amen. Jesus saying here, what happens when we're not willing to change? You've got to be understanding of one thing. You can't put a new wine in an old skin because it will not adapt. It'll just burst. And sometimes in life, listen, Jesus is fresh. He's not new. We don't need a new revelation. We got all the revelation we need right here. We just need to open ourselves up to God and say, God, where do you want to carry me now in my life? What do you want to do in my life right now? Jesus addresses this issue right here. He says he's come to represent the new. Jesus has come to represent life. The law is gone. The law is dead. But Jesus came not to destroy the law. That's where people get scared. People want to stop their relationship with God at a certain point. Now, stay with me. People want to stop their relationship with God at a certain point because they understand that. That they don't understand, they withdraw from. Are you like that? I'm like that. If I don't understand it, I want to stick my heels in the sand and I don't want to move forward. Amen? But how many of you know that healthy relationships are continually growing? I'm not going to ask you how long you've been married or whatever, but how long you've been with your mate or whatever. But guess what? I bet you're learning something new all the time. Be careful now. If you look, be careful. Be careful. If you're not growing, you're stagnating. Divorce rate in America today is moving so fast you can't hardly keep up with it. And you know what? It's not all the time because they don't love one another. It's because they don't understand one another. And you want to know what? A lot of times it takes time to understand, don't it? Do you realize that God created you to make a difference? God created Northview to make a difference. God created all of us to make a difference. But the only way I can make a difference is I've got to be open to God. I'm going to tell you one, let me give you a little, this might be dumb to some of you, but I've never sung in a choir. But Lisa beat me in the parking lot the other day with a ball bat, told me I would sing in the choir. No, that's not true. Amen, that's not true. But
But the Lord began to tell me, he said, you need to get out of the box.
Well, God, Lord, I'm out of the box.
Praise God. No, you're not. Because you don't like to sing. Because singing, now Bob, he just makes me sick. Because he just sings. He just sings like Lawrence Welch. You know, he just sings.
You know, he's whistling. He's whistling going out to the car on Wednesday night.
He just sings like a mockingbird. And I'm sitting over here sweating, convulsions, and everything else, heart attack. And I'm trying to get this one word out, and he just flows.
Bob, you make me sick.
Amen. Amen.
But you know why? He's in his natural gift. He's moving in his gift. You ask him to sing a special, he jumps right in and sings a special. He just moves so beautiful. You know what? God said, I give you a talent to sing. I don't know if some of you might call it a talent or not, but I give you an opportunity. That sounds better. I give you an opportunity to sing,
and you don't want to do it. That's okay, Lord. He beat me on that. I've never been part of a choir before. I said, well, I'm going to step out of the box because you know what? I'm not going to preach nothing to you that I'm not willing to do myself.
And so the Lord told me to get out and start, you know, and I love it. I love it. We have a good time. Thank God for Lisa. She does a tremendous job. I just thank God for it. Amen.
But God is teaching me. You want me to do all this stuff for you,
but you can't even sing in the choir. Why? Why can't you? Well, it's uncomfortable for me. Uh-oh. You see, it's easier to go through ritualism. There's a lot of people going to church today, and they're going to go through the motions, and they're going to sing the songs, and they're going to go through the motions, and they're going to leave. And you ask them this afternoon, what's preacher preach about? Something about the Bible, I believe.
Something about the Bible. Like Barney and Andy, I love that show. And Andy asked Barney one time, said, what did preacher preach about? He preached about sin. I mean, that's pretty widespread. You pretty got it right there. Amen.
You want to know why? We're just going through the motions. Why do we go through the motions? Why do we go through the motions? Because we're comfortable with the motions. Amen. We do what we do, and listen, I'm preaching to myself. Y'all just listen this morning.
We do what we do because we're creatures of comfort, and we're creatures of just doing it the same way all the time because that's how we are. And so what we do, we say change is not good because it's going to move me out of where I need to be. I think God will take me where I am. Yes, he will. He'll love you. You're going to go to heaven. I'm not worried about none of that. But I'm going to tell you, if you're going to live a prosperous, blessed life, you've got more inside of you that needs to come out. Amen. You are beautiful people, talented people, educated people. You've got so much in you that God wants to bring out. And so these disciples and Pharisees, and so the Lord began to give me a couple of things, and I won't finish it all today. What happens when things don't change? Why don't things not change? And the Lord spoke to me this so clearly. He said, because your faith is in the wrong thing. Your faith is in the wrong thing. You say, well, Lord, explain that to me. You cannot have faith in change itself. I am not an advocate of just changing stuff just for change. I don't believe in just change. Well, let's just change. Why do you want it? I just want to change it. God's not in that. God's not in us coming in here and let's just change stuff. You know how new preachers come in. Now that's the first thing we're all scared to death. What's he going to change? Amen. Let him try. Just let him. Amen. Amen. Ain't nobody saying amen to that. I'm like that too now. I've been working in the industry for almost 30 years now. And, you know, I've been managing plants. And, you know, I get it just like I want it. Somebody comes in here wants to change. So if it just messes me up. Amen. Well, I like things like they are. Amen. Well, like they are was good for its season. Now, let me go back. Let me get ahead of myself. Let me go back. I don't want to change nothing unless God wants to change. Amen. So don't even worry about that anymore. You are my family. I'm part of your family. And we're not going to change nothing unless God says. You ask my wife, I ain't moving until God says move. I'm not going to do it. Not going to do it. I've been criticized for that too. Well, you need to get on board. I am on board. I serve God. And when he's ready for me to move, he'll tell me how to move. Amen. I don't want to change just to change. Because what are you going to change to? Amen. What are you going to change to? What's your purpose? What's your motive? Well, I just didn't like it. Oh, okay. Well, that solves it then. You didn't like it. Amen. About the man who, his wife could never do nothing to please him. Nothing. So finally one day, she cooked his eggs just like he wanted them. Just like he wanted them. You women, y'all ain't never had no husband like that, but this is for somebody else. Amen. You just help somebody else. See, you blowed up about that. So what are you mad about now? You cooked the wrong egg. Amen. You can't please nobody like that. Some people can't be pleased like that. Amen. But I'm just telling you. God is an awesome, creative God. I was standing in my yard yesterday, and I looked at all the trees and all the beautiful colors. And, you know, there's a lot of great painters in the world, but there's nobody can paint that kind of tapestry. And that's a creative God. I was leaving out this morning, and it was cold, and the wind was blowing, and I saw this big, fat bird standing on a limb right by itself. And God said, if I take care of them, I'm going to take care of you. And you know what? I love being here because there's such a presence of God. You people have got riches here that you don't even realize what you got. You're used to this. You don't have this everywhere. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the presence of God that is in this place. And God is here to meet your needs. So get this, faith in the wrong thing. There cannot be change just for change itself. And I'm going to close with this. Our faith can't be in change. Well, I thank God he opened the door for me to be here, but I'm not the answer. You're not the answer. God is the answer. And what I hunger for today, here's what God said. Faith can't be in change. Or faith can't be in faith. You know, some people, I just got faith in faith. Faith is a substance. Amen? Founded in the Word. There's nothing in faith, just faith. Here's what God said. Faith has to be in Him. And I close with this as our musician comes this morning. God alone is your source. Now, I'm just getting started on this series here, but God said you got to get your head right. Because when God begins to move in your life, things will begin to change. And the change you will not always, and may I say most of the time, will not understand. I'm sure those three Hebrew boys did not understand why they were in that fiery furnace. I'm sure Daniel did not understand why he was in a lion's den. But they knew that God was with them. Amen. Would you stand to your feet this morning? I want you to listen to me real carefully. Is your head right? This morning? I want to ask you one question. Is there anything in your life that needs changing? Is there anything in your life that you want God to change? And then one more question. Are you doing everything? Are you being everything God wants you to be? God has given us this message to help us dwell on it and help us grow. And there's a word I want you to remember. I told you earlier on, but I'm going to remind you of it now, development. God wants to develop us. God wants to develop us. And when we go through changes, we may not understand it. We may not like it. But when we get to the other side, we realize that God had a purpose for it. Amen? God had a purpose for it. I want you to take the hand of one beside of you right now, if you will. And we're going to make right where you are an altar. And if there's anything in your life right now that you feel like needs to be changed, I want you to ask the Lord to begin to help you. Next week, we're going to talk about opportunity. And I want you to ask yourself now, am I fulfilling every opportunity that I feel God would have me to have? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you're a powerful God. And there's nothing that you cannot do. Lord, we're thankful that you've led us into this word this morning. And God, you've showed us in this word that we got to get ready for the new. Not just new, Lord, but we got to get ready for the fresh of what you have for us. There's a coming year, Lord. This year's almost gone and we got a new year coming. And I know you got something more for us. God, I know there's a reason why you have brought us through what you brought us through. Now, God, enable us to touch lives. In our final prayer this morning, if you're here and you believe that Northview has something to offer this city and Northview has something to offer in the kingdom of God, I want you to lift one of those hands to the Lord right now. Say, I believe that. I believe that. And I come in agreement with you. I come in agreement with you. That where this place is going to be more of, it's always been a blessing. Northview has always been a blessing. And it's not over yet. It's going to continue to be. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all your many blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't want you to miss next Sunday because we're going to continue on getting your head right. And I want my head to be right. I want my head to be right. I want to be able to receive what God has for me. I thank God for what he's doing here at Northview. I thank him for his blessings. I thank him when I drive on the property, I feel that anointing of God. I thank him for that. I thank God that when I come in this place, I know I'm going to receive balance. I know I'm going to receive the word of God. Do you know how precious that is? I know that I'm going to be led of men and women who are women, men and women of God. And I thank God for that. Let's be praying this week. Let's think about, you know, you don't have to do it on your own. God just said, you don't have to, just begin to pray. Say, Lord, is there somebody I need to ask? Is there somebody I need to talk to? And listen, if there is, he'll show you. Change. Getting my head right. I don't want to change. I'll be honest with you. I love it just like it is. But I want God to do what he wants to do. Amen. Thank God for every one of you today. Thank you for coming. God bless you and look forward to seeing you next Sunday. Amen. You'll be dismissed.